Blog Talk Radio.
Ask for prayer for themselves, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your will being done right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. We're touching and agreeing, Lord, Father, standing together, Lord, Father, for their needs, Lord, Father, knowing, O God, that you are that best healer, Lord, Father. You are, Lord, Father God, that awesome friend, Lord, Father. Father, we know that you are that way maker, O God, and we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Father, I hold before you, Lord, Cyprus Bishop right now, Lord. Heavenly Father, as we hold him before you, we praying right now for right mindset right now, Lord, Father. There's so much going on today, Lord, Father, and we cancel that spirit of suicide right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Peace to his mind right now, Lord, Father. Peace like never before, Lord, Father. The peace that passes all understanding, Lord, Father. Father, touch him right now, Lord, Father. Father, let someone today, Lord, Father, intercede, Lord, Father, for him, Lord, Father, and lead him to you. If he don't know you as his Lord and Savior, O God, touch him right now in a mighty and a special way, Lord, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, we thank you for touching Pastor George, Lord, Father. We ask that you continue to touch his body from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet, Lord, Father. For you say healing is the children's bread, Lord, Father, and we say thank you. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Bethany right now, Lord, Father. Father, give her peace right now, Lord, Father. Peace in you like never before, Lord. Father, let your will be done right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, touch her mother, Lord, Father. Strengthen her mother right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Father, comfort her right now, Lord, Father, like never before in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Norma right now, Lord, Father. Continue to strengthen her, Lord, Father. Shield and protect her, Lord, in her going out and her coming in, Lord, Father. Bless her in a mighty and a special way, Lord. Father, we hold all those, Lord, Father God, that continually come in close contact with us, Lord, Father. Father, we pray over their jobs right now, Lord, Father. We pray for your goodness and your mercy. We plead the blood right now, Lord, Father, over them in the name of Jesus, shielding and protecting them, Lord, Father God, from COVID, Lord, from any person, Lord, Father God, that meant to go into businesses to do harm, Lord. We cancel that assignment right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we thank you for the angels standing guard round about them. We thank you for the spirit, Lord, Father God, of awareness, Lord, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, shield, protect them, Lord, Father. Father, knowing, Lord, Father, we take nothing for granted, Lord, Father. We thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord, Father. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Miss McGriff, Lord, Father, thanking you, Lord, Father, for touching, Lord, Father, her stomach area, Lord, Father. We thank you for bringing her out of the hospital. We know that nothing is too hard for you, Lord, Father. We continue to speak healing to her body right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Mr. Howard Jones, Lord, and Barbara, Lord. Father, as we hold them before you, Lord, Father, that are dealing with cancer, Lord, Father. Father, we know that you're bigger than cancer, Lord, Father. So, Father, we say let your will be done in their lives right now, through their bodies right now. We speak healing in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Father, we be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, Lord, Father. Those, Lord, Father, that you touch, Lord, Father, with COVID, Lord, Father. We thank you for bringing them through, Lord, Father. Father, I hold before you Tory, Lord, Father. Touch his body right now, Lord, Father. Father, as we speak to his immune system, we say, let it be whole right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, touch his mind as well, Lord, Father. Father, bring him into the knowledge of you, Lord, Father. Let him call upon you and trust in you like never before. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Elise, Lord, Father. Touch her mind right now, Lord, Father. Oh, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over her right now from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet, Lord, Father. Oh, Father, have your way right now, Lord, Father. Have your way right now in her life, right now, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I bring before you the speaker of the hour, Elder Bolin, Lord Father. I ask you, O God, to decrease him, Lord Father, as you increase in him, Lord Father. Use him this hour right now, Lord Father, to bring forth that Rhema word, Lord Father. Father, I pray today, Lord Father, that every listener, whether they're listening now or at a later date, Lord Father, Father, open their ears, Lord Father. Open their hearts right now and receive the word that is coming forth, Lord Father, knowing that every word is a right now word, Lord. Father, I ask you, O God, to decrease my apostle and bishop as you increase in them, Lord Father. Use them, Lord Father, this hour as we speak healing and deliverance, Lord Father, on this broadcast right now, Lord. Canceling every assignment, O God, that was sent towards this broadcast, anyone speaking or listening on this broadcast, and we render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus, as we cover this broadcast under the blood, and we say, Holy Spirit, show up, show out, have your way right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Father, as we invite you, Lord Father, into this broadcast, Lord Father, and into our lives this day, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen again. Praise the Lord. We thank God for Sister Diane and thank God for prayer, because truly it's praying time. Praise the Lord. Man, as we ever needed to pray, it's time now, amen. When we walk out our door, amen, we have facing so many challenges, praise God, not only with the coronavirus, but it's just so much going on, amen. You look to the left, there's trouble. You look to the right, it's trouble. And God knows, don't look behind, because the devil is gaining on you. This is why we can forget about those things that are behind and press towards that mark, how I call it. Now, if you didn't hear your name called, amen, that's because you didn't call us and tell us, praise God, and put your name on the prayer list, amen. We thank God for our prayer warrior, amen, Sister Diane, who hosts our Wailing Wall every Friday night, praise God, and she is a prayer warrior. And she don't mind praying, praise God. She pray in season and out of season. She pray when she don't feel like it, praise God. She just pray. So we just thank God for her here at Logan International Ministries, City of Victory. Amen. And man, you still have time, amen, if you want to call, praise God. But as she foresaid, amen, we have a speaker today, praise God. He's not new, he's been on before, amen, and I thank God for him. He's my first spiritual son, him and his wife, amen. When I was pastoring in Virginia, amen, when I opened up the church there in Virginia, amen, they was my first members, amen. I know him well, praise God. He is my spiritual son, man. I just thank God, man, and how God have brought him, amen. And I just thank God for him and his wife, praise God, and the daughter, man, and his little grand boy, praise God. I tell you, this is big and fat as a boot, praise the Lord. And he's bringing them up, amen, just like him. And I just thank God, amen, for Ella Carr Bolin. Thank God for, amen, for again, even his brother, amen, Walt, amen. We want to pray for him, praise God, amen. Amen, amen. He's in a need, praise God, amen. Pray for his brother. And also, amen, we thank God for his mother. Amen, how God delivered his mother, praise God, amen. God is a praising God. Am I right? That's enough to shout, amen, and give God glory. He is in the healing business. Whatever you need, amen. Coronavirus is not hard for God now. Amen. He said the things that is impossible with man is possible with God. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me give you a little word and praise God, and I'm going to turn it over into his hand. Praise God. I know he's ready. Praise God. Amen. And I'm going to decrease and let him, amen, increase. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And the word is, our obedience to God carves our character. Our assurance of God strengthens our steps. Our partnership with God enhances our hope. Our faith in God determines our destiny. Oh, I like that. Amen. I'm going to read it again. Our obedience to God carves our character. Our assurance of God strengthens our steps. Our partnership with God enhances our hope. Our faith in God determines our destiny. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Ain't you glad that it's all about him? Praise the Lord. Amen. Without Jesus Christ, amen, we can do nothing. And I'm glad about it. Amen. Ain't you glad you're on the Lord's side? Amen. Ain't you glad about it? Praise God. Come on, lift up your hand and give God some praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He has brought us thus far by faith. And his grace and mercy is able to carry us on. As we embrace this Thanksgiving, amen, time, praise God, we have so much to be thankful for. And that's what we're going to do on tomorrow. But right now, amen, I'm going to decrease and let my spiritual son come. Amen. Elder Card Bolden in his own way. Amen. I want you now, amen, to get your pen and your pencil because he is a teacher. Amen. He's going to break it down to you now. And he's going to tell you, amen, what thus said the Lord. And that's what we need at this time. So we want to ask you now to draw closer. Amen. If you listen by your cell phone or if you have a computer or whatever means you may be listening, amen. It's time now, amen, to hear a word. Praise God. I know that you got your Thanksgiving things going and everything, but turn it down a little bit, praise God, amen, and let's take time out to hear what thus said the Lord. At this time, amen, I present to you no other than Elder Card Bolden. You got the flow, son.
Amen. Can you hear me, Bishop?
Yes, yes.
Amen. We are thankful this morning. I thank the Lord for my spiritual father. I thank the Lord, amen, for Apostle Porter. I thank the Lord, amen, because even though tomorrow is Thanksgiving and we're all getting prepared for that day, we know that we don't have to wait for a particular day, but every day is a day of Thanksgiving with the Lord. And we're thankful for that. I want to make sure I do this today. Today is my grandson's first birthday. He's a Thanksgiving baby. So I thank the Lord for his first year of life. He's been such a joy, and he has brought positive change to our life to cause me to refocus, because that's on my next generation. The Bible says a good father layeth up treasure for his children's children. And the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. It goes together. But I just thank God today. Bishop, I'm going to have to get you to text me that thing you said about the Lord, because I like that. I like that. And I want to say this, that if we don't do anything, because he first started off his statement talking about obedience. And me and another pastor friend of mine have this saying, obedience trumps everything. If you do anything in God, obey his word and his command, and you won't miss it. You won't miss God on any level, and I'm thankful for that. Since we last spoke, The Lord had been dealing with me about our soul and the restoration of our soul. And as I was studying the word in Psalm 23:3 out of the Amplified Bible, he refreshes and restores my soul. Then the Lord took me over to 3rd Epistle John, the 1st chapter, verse 2, and it says, "Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers." My Lord and my God, I thank God, amen, for that, that we need our souls restored, amen? Amen. I thank the Lord, and I thank the Lord for our prayer warrior, Sister Diane. Sister Diane, you keep on praying. You keep on praying, because the Bible says that man and woman should always pray and never faint. And when you have a prayer warrior that won't faint, see, that's the difference. Many people are praying, but folk are fainting in their prayers. And when you don't faint in prayer, you begin to see the breakthroughs that God has for us. So today I want to tap into the restoration of our souls, because it's been an intense year. Am I right about it? That since March of this year, when the pandemic hit, it's been an intense year. And on top of all the challenges that we deal with, this was added to it. So it's been an intense year, and yet even the month of November that the election came out and around, it's been an intense time for this country. We've made it through the elections, but our work has really just begun. We need to cover our president-elect and this nation with prayers of healing. Am I right about it? I know that's right. That's an amen right now. Because the mission of the church and the mandate of the church is still the same, even during this pandemic, that we share Jesus and that we demonstrate Christ to the world in which we live. So let's make sure we do our best to exemplify Christ. Let me have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come now, Master, thanking you for another opportunity to present your word, to teach and talk about your word, because your word clearly says, because Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto the Lord, needeth not to be ashamed, but rightfully dividing the word of truth. Allow me to divide the word of truth this morning. Holy Spirit, I give you lead way to speak through me and to speak for me for such a time as this. Open up our souls, our minds, our will, and our intellect, that we may receive your engrafted word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to talk about our soul through the topic of soul food, because we are getting prepared for Thanksgiving today, and mothers and grandmothers and aunts and uncles are cooking all over the place today, getting things ready. I'm going to be getting things prepared myself throughout this day so we can go down to our daughters and enjoy Thanksgiving with her and our grandson. But I want to talk to you from the topic of soul food, recipes for a healthy soul, because I feel that our souls have been stretched to its limit. Since this pandemic began, our soul has been under attack. And I feel God's desire is that we check the condition of our soul, because we cannot live above the condition of our soul. I want to say that again. We cannot live above the condition of our soul. Remember, Psalm 23:3 and 1 Epistle of John 3:1-2. And I want to encourage every leader as according to the fivefold ministry, because we need our souls restored. Why? Because if you follow that scripture out in Ephesians, it begins to talk about the fivefold ministry. And at the end of it, it says for the perfecting of the saints. So we need our souls restored that we may perfect the saints into restoring their soul, because it takes work to restore your soul. And as I said before, that since March of this year, our soul has been under attack, and we need our souls restored as we head towards the end of this year, because we don't know what 2021 is going to bring. But I do know this much: we are on the winning side. And God's desire is to restore the souls of his people called the church. And there's a Greek word that I love, ekklesia, which means the called out and chosen ones. So God's desire is for the called out chosen ones, souls be restored so that we can begin to restore those around us. As we lead into this word story, I just want to share a statement of observation of how I have seen most people live over my years of ministry. And that statement is this: most people have an undeveloped life because they have an undeveloped soul. And when you study it out, you begin to see that the root of it is because they have an undeveloped soul. I say again, you cannot live above the condition of your soul. So I want to work on this, because in order for you and I to develop something, we need to have an understanding of it. It's very difficult to develop what you don't understand. This is true even when we look at our physical body. It's difficult to develop it if you don't understand it. What foods cause our body to function at its optimum? What exercise will cause us to get stronger and healthier in our bodies? When you understand your physical body, then you're able then to develop it better. So understanding gives us the ability to develop. And I want to approach the restoration of our soul from 1 Thessalonians. So open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 23 and 24 from the Message Bible. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 23 through 24 from the Message Bible. It says, "May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole," underline holy and whole, "make you holy and whole." He said it again, underline it again. "Put you together." My God, highlight "put you together." "Spirit, soul, and body. And keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he will do it." Let's make this declaration together. God has put me together. My Lord, my God. That ignited my spirit, Bishop, that when God revealed this to me. God has put together. And since he has put us together, then he knows us better than we think we know us. Am I right about it? So let's make that declaration. God has put me together. So if we're going to understand how God has put us together, then we have to recognize that he has put us together. As we recognize he that has put us together, he gives us insight on how he has put us together. Notice how he has put us together. We are spirit, we are soul, and we're in a body. So man has three component parts: spirit, soul, body. That means man is spirit, man has a soul, and he is in a body. So when we talk about the spirit, we know that this is different than the soul. And when we study it out, the spirit and soul are two different things. And that's what I love. I've always been a lover of the teaching of the gospel. Teaching and preaching must go together. And I love what Paul told Timothy. He said, "To study, to show thyself approved." And I'm thankful that I have a witness for when I first got saved and followed Bishop Porter, and we used to work two jobs together, that I would study as much as I possibly could in the light of working two jobs. So I would get home from one job at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I would study till 1 and 2 in the morning. And I thank God that the bishop encouraged me to continue studying. And now, 35 years later, it has paid off with a relationship with the Lord of loving to study God's word. So it's important that we study out God's word. So the spirit is mentioned here, and the Greek word for this is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, and it means breath or wind. It means breath or wind. And that breath and wind that God blew into us, and I'm going to get into that scripture, when God blew into man and created man, it enables us to relate to God. So our spirit man enables us to relate to God. So turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 2 and 7. Genesis 2 and 7 from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Then the Lord God formed," that is, created the body of man from the dust of the ground, "and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became living." Now watch the end of this. It says, "an individual complete in body and spirit." So this is Genesis giving credibility to the Greek word pneuma, that God blew the breath of life into us, and he made us a complete triune individual of spirit, soul, and body. My Lord, my God. And he said it was complete. Why? Why? Because everything God does is good. So that's pneuma in the Old Testament. Then when we look at the other side of pneuma, wind, in the New Testament, the church signification came in Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, from the Amplified Bible. And it reads as thus: "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound came from heaven like a rushing violent wind." There's pneuma in the New Testament. "And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were being distributed among them, and they rested on each of them as each person received the Holy Spirit." So the signification of the Holy Spirit came with a mighty rushing wind. So here is God again blowing into man's life. Verse 4, "And they were all filled," that is, diffused throughout their being. Highlight or underline diffused throughout their being, because that cross-references Genesis 2 and 7. That God breathed into man's nostrils, and he became a living being. And here he is now in the New Testament sending back the Holy Spirit to breathe upon what he has already breathed upon. Good God Almighty. Good God, I pray. So diffused throughout their being with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, different languages, that the Spirit was giving them ability to speak out clearly and appropriately. So let's study it out. Let's break this down and study it out. So let's talk about this separation, because there is a difference concerning the spirit and the soul of man. Turn with me into Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12 from the NIV Bible. Hebrews 4 and 12 from the NIV Bible. And it reads as thus: "For the word of God is alive and is active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So there it is, as we begin to study it out, that the spirit and soul are different. But today, we're going to study it out from the components of our soul and how to restore it. So let's look at the components of the soul, because, as I said earlier, we have been bombarded this year since March concerning this pandemic on top of everything else in our lives, and our souls have been worn down. So let's talk about the soul. What is the soul? The soul consists of our minds, our will, and our emotions. And tied to our emotions is our intellect. And if we are going to prosper in our soul, it is through understanding how to steward our mind, our will, and our emotions. Because if we don't steward that, the enemy can entice us through emotions to do irrational things as it pertains to the kingdom and the word of God. And that's why God gave us a will, because when we impose God's will through his word into our lives and our will, that equals to prosperity and success in our souls. So let's understand this. We must understand that we are not our mind, we are not our wills, and we are not our emotions, but we steward them. Yes, they're in us, but we steward them. God is not going to steward our soul for us. We must steward our soul. So that means this does not happen arbitrarily or by osmosis. Something must be done. And the first thing that must be done, as Bishop Porter said earlier, is our obedience. This is where our obedience comes in at. So let's study it out. Look at Romans 12 and 2. Very familiar scripture from the NIV Bible. It reads thus: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's your soul. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So look at the process, that when we're transforming our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions through the word of God, then we can test and approve what God's will. But the trouble and challenge comes is when people try to do it in reverse. When we try to test and approve God's will without renewal and transformation, we won't get what God desires for us to get. And that's why we need to renew our souls for such a time as this. So let's study it out. The first point I want to bring out is we must have a renewed mind. From this Romans 12 and 2, we must have a renewed mind. So what is a renewed mind? Success is the fruit of a renewed mind. Transformation. You cannot have a new life or a new mind with the mindset of our old mind, my Lord. You cannot have a new life with an old mind. Every time our mind shifts, our life shifts. Every time our mind shifts, our life shifts. Right thinking results in right living. Right thinking results in right living. So this is why it's imperative that we in leadership ask the Lord as we head toward the end of this year to renew our minds and transform our minds as it pertains to the paradigm shift of 2020. Because since March of this year, the paradigm shifted. And the way we see God and view God as it pertains to us serving him in the church must be renewed and transformed going forward in 2021. Why? Because we cannot go to church like we used to. As a matter of fact, because the numbers have been growing again with this pandemic, now states are beginning to close things back down again. And I got to tell you, I believe that President-elect Biden, if things don't begin to slow down before he takes office, he's going to issue some type of mandate to close this thing down in a way where we can slow it down. So that means that it probably may go back to the way it was when the pandemic first hit, that we may possibly not be able to go to church again. So we need to be prepared and renewed and transformed for such a thing. So remember, every time our mind shifts, our life shifts. We must have a renewed mind. Point number two, you have to set your mind. You have to set your mind. Look at Colossians 3 and 2 from the Amplified Bible. Set your mind underline or highlight, set your mind, and keep focus habitually. Underline and highlight, keep focus habitually, because we're creatures of habit. We're creatures of good and bad habits. And again, through our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions and intellect, we set that process in motion by where we focus habitually. So Colossians goes on to say, focus habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value, which have only temporal value. This pandemic is not God's first pandemic. Hello, my Lord. This is not God's first pandemic, but God knows how to get us through it. And when we follow his process, not only will he just get us through, God doesn't want us to just limp through this thing. The Bible says, now thanks be unto God. Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So I'm looking to triumph through this pandemic. I'm not looking to limp through this pandemic. I'm looking to triumph through this pandemic. And the way to do it is through a renewed and focused mind. So we have to set our mind. Dreams are destroyed because of an undisciplined thought process in our mind. So we must set our mind to do a thing. So let's make this declaration together. Lord, help me set my mind. Lord, help me set my mind. Lord, help me set my mind. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 26 and 3, you will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character. Bishop Porter mentioned character earlier, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. My Lord, my God. So when we begin to renew our mind, and when we begin to set our mind, we can take refuge in God with hope and confident expectation. Because hope, when we study it out, is a progressive word. Hope progresses into confident expectation. Don't just hope and sit around and twiddle our fingers that God is going to do something. No, God wants us involved in the process. So he wants our hope to move into confident expectation, and we do that with a focused and made up mind. My Lord and my God. Peter talked about a committed mind in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 13 through 14 in the Amplified Bible. Verse 13. So prepare your minds for action. My Lord, my God. Underline and highlight. So prepare your minds for action. So the time to prepare for 2021 is now. That we need to ask the Lord and have the Lord renew our souls now. So Peter said, prepare your minds for action. Be completely sober in spirit, steadfast, self-discipline, spiritually and morally alert. Underline and highlight, self-discipline, spiritually and morally alert. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God. Thank God for the sixth dispensation period of grace that is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 14, live as obedient children of God. There it is again, Bishop. Bishop Porter mentioned in his statement, obedience was the first thing he mentioned in his statement, and here it is in Scripture. Live as obedient children of God. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which govern you in your ignorance before you knew the requirements and transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. Look at that. Look at that. That as we look at this Peter and study it out, that we were governed through ignorance before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the word says transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. God's word has transforming power. And when we look at Romans 12 and 2, we begin to understand as we study it out that God's word can transform our mind, our will, and our intellect and emotions, but we must steward and govern them as we look at God's word to transform us. So Peter said, prepare your mind for action. Focus until we see what God has said. Focus until we see what God has said. Remember the scripture in Hebrews? The word is alive. Hebrews 4:3, the word is alive. The word is living. And God's desire for his word to live in us and through us. Throughout my years of study, even when I was in high school, I used to love Greek mythology and looking at the Romans and how they did things. And there was a Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius. And I looked up some of his sayings that he had. He had some good sayings that I want to share with us today. One of the things that was implied and given and talked about Marcus Aurelius, even after, you know, of course, he left, he was regarded as one of the last five good emperors of Rome. And listen to a couple of his quotes that I looked up. One, you have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength. Listen at that. You and I have power over our mind. That's our will. God gave us that. So he gave us that authority. And we can't control outside events, so don't try to. And if you are, stop trying to. I remember my first 15 years of ministry, I always tried to change the outcome of events. But I couldn't, because I can't control what's going to have tomorrow. But if I have a renewed mind, I can enter into tomorrow understanding how to combat it and anything that comes up. Number two, second quote I looked up concerning Marcus Aurelius. He says, nothing has such power to broaden the mind as the ability to investigate systematically and truly all that comes under thy observation in life. My Lord, there it is again. Nothing has such power to broaden the mind. That's the word of God. God's word broadens our mind, and it gives us the ability to investigate our soul systematically, which is what we're doing today. My goodness, my Lord. Number three, our life is what our thoughts make it. Isn't that something? Our life is what our thoughts make it. Well, the scripture that comes to mind is the power of life and death lies in the tongue. But in order to engage the tongue, there must be a thought process. Am I right about it? That's why it's important to control our thoughts, because sometimes we engage our tongue before we engage our thoughts, and we can let the wrong thing out. The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. Listen at this one. Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul. Yes, the pandemic is real, but the pandemic does not control the will of God, and it does not control our soul. God has given that authority to us. Yes, it's okay to look at the news and to see what's going on, but if you pay attention to it too much, because remember, faith cometh by hearing. See, that's not a church thing, that's a life thing, and hearing by the word of God. So whatever we consistently hear, we put our faith in, and I'm going to touch on that in my next point. So point number three, we have to manage our mind. We have to manage our mind. 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter, verse 5 from the NIV Bible. We demolish arguments and every presentation that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captivity every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Underline or highlight, we take captivity every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You are not responsible for every thought that comes to your mind, but you are responsible for managing every thought that comes into your mind. I want to say that again. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson today, because I'm going to continue it again when I have the next opportunity to teach in December. You and I are not responsible for every thought that comes into our minds, but we are responsible for managing the thoughts that come into our mind. That's what 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 is talking about, especially at the end. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So remember, throughout this pandemic, and as we continue to head toward the end of 2020, we want our souls renewed, our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions, so that we may have the authority through our will to take captive every thought that comes toward us in a negative way concerning God and this pandemic, because we are on the winning side, and God's desire is for us to live victoriously through it. Amen? Next cross-reference of Scripture, James, the first chapter, verses 2 and 8, as I prepare to lead to the closing of this teaching. James, the first chapter, verses 2 through 8, I'll be reading it from the New King James Bible. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. A mind that is not renewed, set, and managed, which is my three talking points, is a mind that is tossed all over the place of life. And that person becomes a two-souled individual, as it pertains in James 1 and 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You become a two-souled individual. That means your soul, your mind, your will, and your intellect is back and forth all the time, and that creates instability in your life. If we're going to do anything as we head toward the end of 2020, remove the instability that may have come about as a result of this pandemic. We are on solid ground in Christ Jesus. We are on solid ground in Christ Jesus. So we do not have to be in an unstabilized state of mind. This is why the Lord had impressed upon me since we last spoke that it's imperative that my people renew their souls. Amen? So point number 4. You have to organize your mind. You have to organize your mind. You have to organize your mind. So we have talked about the renewal of our minds. We have talked about how we have to renew our minds, how we have to set our minds, and how we have to manage our minds. And number 4, we have to organize our minds. As we prepare to share and break bread and eat good soul food for our bodies on tomorrow, and even as we prepare these dinners today, and most cooks are doing just that, we also must prepare our souls. Because having a prepared soul is just like preparing the meals that we're going to eat tomorrow. that we take special care, don't we? We take special care. I know Bishop Porter remembers my wife's homemade pound cake. That it's a special way that my wife put those ingredients when she do her pound cake. And it turns out the way it's supposed to turn out. Just as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. If we're going to take the time to put that special loving touch on the meals that we are preparing for the loved ones that we will be breaking soul food bread with on tomorrow, let us likewise, as children of God, who prepare ourselves, our souls, through the loving kindness of the Father. For he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life and not perish. So we need to prepare our souls. So we have to organize our mind. Look at Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, thank you, God, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, underline and highlight, if there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, underline and highlight that. Meditate on these things, my Lord, my God. When we study out meditation, it's not just sitting and reading God's word. When we look at it from the way the Jewish people did it and the way God gave it to them to do, not only was it just looking at the word of God, it was speaking the word of God to ourselves. Watch this. Thank you, God. When God dropped this in my spirit some 10 years ago, it changed me by doing this simple principle of the word that we hear all the time out of Romans. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we read the word of God to ourselves, my spiritual father, that causes our faith to increase. So don't read to yourself in silent anymore. It says faith cometh by hearing. Oh, God, what we put in our ear gate. I'll get into that in our next lesson. The eye gate and the ear gate are two important principles to the life and soul of the believers. Verse 9 in Philippians. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I know Sister Diane will probably like this because she's an engineer, and I know she probably understands how a computer works. I'm a computer geek. I love how a computer works. Our mind is like a computer. Our mind is like a computer, and it has a memory bank. And we have the ability to file away things. So as God revealed this Philippians 4, 8, and 9 to me, I'm gonna share it with you in this way. Philippians 4 and 8 is a filing system for the soul of the believer. Good God, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. That ignited my spirit. It ignited my spirit 4 or 5 weeks ago when God gave it to me and when he showed it to me in that form. Now, I don't know how you think, but I'm only sharing with you how I think. And I love how a computer thinks because it shows me how God created my mind to think. So watch this. Philippians 4 and 8 is a filing system. It's a folder to file away for the believer. So as we restore our souls heading toward the end of 21, file away whatever things are true. Thank you, Jesus. File away in your folder whatever things are noble. File away whatever things are just in your soul. File away whatsoever things are pure. File away, glory to his name, whatever things are lovely. File away in your soul, in your memory bank, whatsoever things are of a good report. And if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, is God praiseworthy of you? Has God done something for us? Have you been thankful before the set-aside day of Thanksgiving? Because we don't have to wait for that set-aside day. That when we foul away these things in our mind and meditate these things to ourselves and regurgitate it to our own soul. It turns into what verse 9 said. The things which you have learned, my God, I thank God for my spiritual father that I learned to study God's word long time ago. And I received and heard and saw in him the importance of living for and serving the living God. For God I live and for God I die. I learned that through the life. I want everybody to catch this, especially leaders that are listening in. It's one thing to say this gospel, but it is another to live it. Thank God for your life, my spiritual father, because it changed mine. I was unsaved when I met him, but his life, I saw in him, and his one encouragement to me to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and to marry the woman that I was living with, who became my wife, changed everything. Ooh, glory to his name. It changed my soul. I'm talking from experience. It changed my soul. So Philippians 4 and 9 is a folder that God has given us to file away in our soul so that our soul can be restored, because it's imperative, as David wrote, he leadeth me beside the still waters, and he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. We cannot live above the condition of our soul. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. I speak peace and blessings to you and you and you for this Thanksgiving holiday. And that I encourage once again every leader of the fivefold ministry as listed in the book of Ephesians. You may not want to do it the way I've done it. This is just a starting and reference point. But study and seek it out as it pertains to your congregation where you are, that God may restore you, and that you and your ministerial staff and team may restore the saints, so that 2021 will be a victorious year like no other. I speak it. We have the authority to speak it, and yet I decree it through the power and the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. God bless you. Back to Bishop Porter.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Now we have a few more minutes, amen, and we're going to open up the lines, praise God, for you. Man, you may want to ask a question, praise God, or comment, praise God, or testify or what you have heard, praise God. But it was so much vital information to our spirit, our soul, and also our bodies, praise God. And I know it helped me, praise the Lord, amen. We never get too old, amen, to learn, am I right? The choice, you know, when in Ephesians ministering, what came to my mind, the choice of maturity. The choice of maturity is one way to evaluate that, your spiritual maturity, is by looking at the choice we make. And that's what he was saying, basically, with the scriptures that he was giving us. And I hope that you was writing them down. Okay, maturity choices. You teach others rather than just being taught in maturity. All right. Mental mature choice. Developing depths of understanding rather than struggling with the basics. Y'all get that? Self-evaluation rather than self-criticism. Seek unity. When you mature, you seek unity rather than promoting disunity. unity. Are y'all listening? Desire spiritual challenges rather than desire entertainment. Carefully study and observation rather than opinion and half-hearted effort. Act in faith rather than caution and doubt fear. Okay? Feeling experience, evaluation in the light of God's word rather than experience evaluation according to your feelings. See the difference in your spirit, soul, and your body when you get into maturity? See? Your choices, amen. You elevate. You, amen. You have reached that plateau that God wants you to be. And this is what he's telling us today, amen. The spirit, the soul, and the body is all you and I, all wrapped up in one. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we have a few minutes if you would like to call in. Amen. And amen. And I want to ask Ella Boland a question. Praise God. We have a few more minutes. Amen. Before we go off the air. Praise God. Because this is what it's all about. Amen. We are living now in challenging times. And as we ever, amen, need to be steadfast and unmovable, but abiding in the word of the Lord, it's time now. There's no time now to be wishy-washy and double-minded. Praise God. You got to be steadfast. Am I right, Elder Bowler? Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Amen. We got to be steadfast. Amen. Amen. As Pastor Sharon often say all the time, amen, and I love that, amen, stay focused. Amen. We have to pay attention. She's good at always saying that. And I think that's what happened to us a lot. We don't pay attention enough to our surroundings and what happened to us. Because we got to be, the devil is so cunning. Amen. He's been come up on you before you know it. Amen. We have a call? Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. But Elder Bullen, before we close out, we want you to pray for, you know, pray, amen, for the listeners out there. And we have quite a few of them, amen, on the line today. And, man, and you know this word goes to all four corners of the earth. And we just thank mm-hmm. God, amen. We know that his word would not go out and return to him void. Am I right? But it would accomplish what it pleases. See, so he's a right now God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we still have a few minutes. Amen.
Question.
Okay.
How do you know when you get to maturity?
Okay. Did you hear that, Ella Boland?
Mm-hmm.
She said, the question is, how do you know when you get to maturity?
Amen. Amen. As Bishop has said, we have to evaluate ourselves. You know, it's an interesting thing about human nature, which is we are quick to evaluate somebody else. We are quick to find faults in other people. But maturity that I've used in my own life, I know when I was with Bishop, every year we used to go down to Florida for a convention, and our general bishop, Bishop Gibbons, would always call the leadership if you had a spiritual title, and he would talk to you, and he would ask you what you learned from year to year. And I remember one particular year that I wrote some things down of myself that I wanted to change. And when I came back the next year, I had those two things checked off. Now watch this. Statistics say that it takes, my Lord, I think it's 3 days to change a habit, just one habit. You have to focus on changing that habit. So when we talk about maturity, spiritual maturity, it's the ability to evaluate yourself and your surroundings to go forward from where you were. Mm-hmm. So this time next year, you can use this as a starting point. From this Thanksgiving to next Thanksgiving, write something down about yourself that you think you need improvement on, and then take the focused steps to get yourself there next year. That's maturity.
Right. That's it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Man, he broke it down, and it's so true. And he was right about that. I remember. You brought that back to my remembrance. When we went down to the Sunday School Convention there in Jacksonville, and every year he would do that. He would call different one in and ask them what you have learned from one year to the next. And he was a man looking to see, had you grown, have you matured from one year to the next? He was good at that, my bishop. Praise God. Amen. And that's the way he taught me. He said, what I'm teaching you, you'll be able to teach others. And it's so true. Praise God. And one thing I found, and he's gone on to be with the Lord, he said, Bishop Porter, people gonna be people.
Ooh, good God Almighty.
I found that to be true. So people gonna be people. But it's so true. Thank God for that question, and thank God for you broke it down so beautiful. That's because I just finished, you know, looking at it. And the choice is a choice. But, you know, you got to make up. Just take a well made up mind, amen. To just come into that. Praise God. Make up your mind, amen. You have to make up your mind, man. The Lord ain't gonna do it all, amen. He's supernatural. You know, now he can give you a Paul experience if that's what you want, man. A lot of people looking for the lightning to hit you and knock you, you know. But it's a faith thing. You got to believe God, man. This is all he asking us to do, amen. Trust him, amen. That's what faith is believing the word of God. And you broke that down, you know, over in Hebrews. Praise God, chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quicker and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And that's what you have been talking about. And of the joint and marrow, and is the discern of the thought and intent of the heart. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. Praise God. And you was reading in your New International Version part, it said the word of God is not simple. It's a collection of words from a God, a vehicle for communication ideals. It is a living, life-changing and dynamic as it work in us. Praise the Lord. God's word is revealed who we are and what we are. It penetrates the core of our moral and spiritual life. It discerns what is within us, both good and evil. The demand of God's word requires decisions. We must not only listen to the word, we must also let it shape our lives. So, amen, was so right, amen. Thank God, amen, for those scriptures. And I hope you out there, amen, that you wrote them down and go back and doing your devotion of time, praise God, and read them and study them, praise God, and ask God to open up your wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and he'll do just that, amen. You know, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. Praise God. And that's what Elder Boland done. Praise God. And I told him, I say, keep your nose in the book. You have to study. Amen. And I think he talked about that. Amen. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 say, study to do what? To show yourself approved, a workman unto God. Need not to be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. Praise God. You have some people that tell you the truth, but they won't rightly divide it. It's a difference. Praise God. It's a difference. Praise God. And if you hadn't, amen, been studying and got into spiritual maturity, you'd be easily, amen, easily led in the wrong direction. Praise God. Everything sound good is not good. Amen. Everything
Amen.
Can sound good to you. It's not good for you. Amen. Would
Amen.
You agree
Can
with
I jump
that,
in here, Bishop?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just want to add that as I have interacted with people, both in the Lord and out of the Lord, saved and unsaved, throughout this pandemic, going to the grocery store and wherever I may bump into people, the interesting thing is what Bishop just said, that when the word is not rightfully divided, it will cause us to be unstable in such a time as this. Well, what do I mean by it? Since the pandemic, the beginning of the pandemic shut every church down in the world, not just in America, but in the world. And what came into play and what was brought into light was our personal relationship with the Lord, because the pastor couldn't go home with you. And it was a necessary thing for the body of Christ, because this pandemic has shown us where we stood in Christ Jesus and our maturity of him. That have we been studying on our own? Look at it this way. Even before the pandemic, you were only going to church 2 to 3 days at best during the week. So the rest is on us. That means you have 4 days that God is looking for your interaction with him. It don't impress God as much what you did in church. It impresses him more what you do out of it, outside the building. And what I mean by that is, I'm not discrediting the church, so don't go away thinking that. What I'm saying is, God has brought to the forefront where we were with him prior to the pandemic, and he's been displeased with some of it. He's been displeased with some of our worship, because a lot of times worship has become a showpiece for churches. So God has been displeased with that. He's been displeased with people not rightfully dividing the word of truth, because now people that have not been given the rightful divided word of God are not standing. And these are the people, thanks be unto God, that he's enabled me to see. And all you have to do is listen to them talk. They don't have any hope, Bishop. Their hope is in the president. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? As a matter of fact, as a feeler, and when I went out to vote, and I voted early, ran into a few people, and I decided to throw a monkey wrench into people's thinking, which was this: that the people that were all sold out into God, let Biden become the first, the next president. You know what I threw in there, Bishop? Well, what would you do if Biden didn't come to become the next president, and we were stuck with that same joker for another 4 years? Nobody answered. You know why? Because it stunned them, because they were so locked into getting Biden. And when they stood there for a minute like a deer in the headlights, I let them off the hook. I said, don't put your faith in that. Put your faith in the living God. Didn't you say you know God? Or is it that you know Biden? You want to know Biden, or do you want to know God? And then they would say, oh, wow, yeah. I said, well, see, this is where your relationship with Christ comes in at.
But right.
I wasn't going to be shook up one way or the other, or whoever became president. Why? Because I've studied the word. The word says that the Lord holds the king's mind in his hand. Hello? God had got the king's mind in his hand. So I was not going to be shook up if Biden hadn't won. But I knew a bunch of people who would have been shook up if Biden hadn't won. Now, I would have been disappointed. But guess what? This election was about choosing the lesser of two evils, because there's some things about Biden that I didn't like. But it was more about the other guy I didn't like. So I said, well, okay, Lord, I thank you that, again, as we intercede, remember Luke 18:1? Man should ought to always pray. That's why we have prayer warriors like Diane. That as we pray before Biden, and if you don't remember anything I said today, remember this. Don't wait to the inauguration to pray for Biden. Pray for him now. He needs direction now, because he's taking over a bigger mess than Obama took over. See, we forgot all about that. And Obama said it. Who would want to be president now? We're in economic crash.
Right.
Who want to be president over this? And he was right. Well, guess what? Not only are we in economic crash right now, we are also dealing with a disease that's killing people massively. Who would want to be president doing all of that? I wouldn't. And I know the Lord. I tell you, but I wouldn't want that responsibility. And not know the Lord.
Right. I know
and,
that's
and
right.
I don't know President-elect Biden's personal life. I just know that he's a Catholic. Well, God is not about the denomination, but all of us are under some form of denomination or not. But my point is, I don't know his walk with the Lord. So we as a body, remember, the prayers of the righteous prevails, not
much.
The political leaders, the prayers of the righteous, those who are in right standing with God through Jesus, us. So we need to pray for healing because the last 4 years have been the most. Now, this is me personally. I believe, Bishop, because I'm a history buff, and I've been watching these shows on PBS. They had the nerve to go back to stuff in history, and I decided to look at some of it. Well, guess what? The Lord brought back to my attention, which was what the Civil War was all about. This 4 years president of Trump has been the most divisive time since the Civil War. If you go back and study it out, it's right there in front of us. He tried to divide this country worse than the Civil War. Think about that for a minute. So we need God on our side. We need God more now than ever we did before. Bishop had a saying when I was following him back in when I got saved and he opened the church, that it's important to understand that people are going to be people. You need God more than you need people because people are going to let you down. And again, understanding ourselves and our minds, will, and intellect, that when people let you down, what are you going to do? What are you going to do at the end of the day when people let you down? What are you going to do when the president lets you down? For instance, everybody had their hopes up for a second stimulus check, which would have been a good thing leading into Thanksgiving for the end of the year. But that joker didn't do it, did he? And he's not going to do it. But those that was holding their breath for it are now left in a state of limbo if they don't know Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Ella Bowling, you got someone on, want to ask you a question or got a comment? You on the air?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Elder Bowden, this is Deacon Michael.
Yes, sir.
What I wanted to say was the last 4 years, you are right about, because the what is that? I forgot the people who checked this stuff out of Southern poverty leaders. They
yes.
said that since Trump has been around and he started to become the president, that the crimes of blacks and brown people has gone up exponentially.
Yes.
And so I knew then that you got to take the Lord around with you because you don't know what's going to happen with these past 4 years because it was so dangerous, you know, because we have been so divisive. We've been so divided that, but think about this, those 73 million who voted for Trump, that lets you know how many people are out there who did not want to change. That is pretty much taking us back to the Civil War.
Amen.
Now, if Trump would have been 4 more years, we'd have had to get on our knees every day and pray, because we'd have been in trouble. Now,
amen.
The second thing is, I like to watch them Roman and Greek shows, you know, movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do get good, because like you, I get something out of them. You know, because you can always take what's on there and relate it to God.
Right.
And that's what I do. I like to relate these things to God. So I just like your message, and I think it was great. But I also think
you.
It was for me. But I also think it was for me. So,
God bless you.
Matter of fact, I think everything for me.
Amen. Amen.
But,
God bless
right,
you, Deacon. Yes.
I thank you. And God bless you. And thank you a lot.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Deacon Robert. I just thank you for the word touching you today. And remember this Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius, A-U-R-E-L-I-U-S. Look him up on Google. He has a lot of great sayings that he did when he was emperor. And they counted him as one of the last five great emperors. So he did both good and bad toward the Jews. But, you know, it's a true thing that history, when we look back on history, it can point us in a direction and give us a point of entry where we can say, you know what, this looks familiar. And again, I say again, when I started looking at those shows, because I got upset when I was scrolling through my television thing, I said, they got a nerve to put the Civil War up during a pandemic. And then I looked at it and I said, you know what? You're right. This guy was trying to throw us back to the Civil War. And the worst thing that came out of this, my brothers and sisters, is he gave these 73 million people mindset to act like that. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So see,
that's right.
One thing Bishop Porter taught me years ago, and it's true, but the body of Christ seems to forget this every now and then, which is this. You can expect the devil to be nobody but the devil. Why you expect him to be anything otherwise? It's right there in John 10:10. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you look for the presence of the devil, look for steal, kill, and destroy. So what did Trump do? He tried to steal the money from the American people. He tried to kill people of color. And he tried to destroy the union called the United States because he didn't want it to be a union.
We got to get our announcements in. I thank
yes,
God
sir.
For you, but cut you off. We got to get our announcements in.
Yes,
amen.
Sir. Go ahead, Bishop.
Tomorrow, we'll be here tomorrow, amen, on Thanksgiving. We're going to open up the lines, amen, for people to testify and give thanks, not only for Thanksgiving, but all for what Christ has done. Sister Diane.
Amen, amen. We just thank God for that word coming forward from Elder Bolden. I tell you, if you enjoy that word, you can visit our Facebook page at Logion International Ministries and click on that link and hear that broadcast over again. You can share it, you know, whether you share it on your page or you share it through Messenger. You know, share it today because that's an awesome and right now word. Know that whatever God is doing in this hour, be prayerful. Make sure your soul is right. So tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that call-in number is 347-857-3925. And you have a question, all you have to do is press that 1. And let me tell you, your question will be answered. You need prayer, whatever you need in that hour, press that 1. So tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Till then, be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, a peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying.
As I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends,
when I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things
start happening.
I stop. struggle, struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, that everything would be alright, yeah.
As
soon as I stop worrying,
worrying how the story is,
I can let go.
I let go and
I can let God.
Let
him have. And let God, let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God.